This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Savor are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we have an episode for you about Pop Rocks.
Yes, I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, oh, it's so weird. We do love these brand ones, and this one's great.
Yes, not currently a sponsor.
Nope.
Was there any particular reason Pop Rocks were on your mind?
I'm pretty sure that I like Googled like interesting brand stories or something very pedestrian like that. And then I was like, ooh, yeah, Pop Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
When you suggested it, I immediately was like, how have we not already done this?
Right.
Yeah, it's a very fun one. I went through like a very brief Pop Rocks phase that was mostly about the novelty of them.
Sure.
But they've never been my candy of choice.
Not on your top five list?
Not at all. Not even close. But I did enjoy them, and I liked the sensation. And when I was researching this one, I did find so many fun experiments, like science experiments you could do with them. And that, I loved that kind of thing as a kid. I love it now. So I'm sad I didn't find that when I was younger.
Yeah, there's just lots you can do with them. Lots to kind of think about as you watch them work or experience them work. I have a pervasive fondness for them. I can't say I remember what the flavor of them has ever been like. But that sensation is, so fun, so weird.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Especially when you're a kid and you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This candy's exciting.
Right? You're like, you're a child. You don't have that much experience with, like, soda pop, hopefully not with alcohol at that point. So anything that creates such a strong sensation in your mouth, you're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
That one again. 29 packets later. No.
No.
Probably not.
Well, I am going to, I'm going to the store soon, which is still kind of a big announcement for me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know. And I'm going to see if I can get Pop Rocks there. I don't think I'll actually buy them, but I'm just like, I don't even think I can get them at my local grocery store, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I have no idea. I have not looked for Pop Rocks at the checkout in a very long time. I feel like they're probably at Target.
Yeah, I think at a bigger store. I go to a pretty small one.
Yeah.
But I bet at like a bigger where they have that like not just the checkout aisle, but that kind of candy.
Yeah.
Bigger checkout aisle. That's not the candy aisle. It's separate than that. Some of you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That spontaneous purchase.
Yes.
Area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet they hang out around there a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll report back. But in the meantime, I guess this brings us to our question.
Uh-huh.
Pop Rocks. What are they?
Well, Pop Rocks are a brand of hard candy that comes in small granules, like wee pebbles or gravel, that are flavored with fruit or whatever candy flavors and contain pockets of pressurized carbon dioxide gas. When the candy starts to melt in your mouth, those pockets lose structural integrity and audibly burst open, but they're so small that it's a pretty gentle sensation, just like a popping tingle, with a fizzing sound, like you're listening to a fresh glass of soda pop that's just been poured. Yeah, it's like eating a packet of dry soda pop. It's weird. An unexpected, even if you know what you're getting into, like an unexpected and delightful sort of way.
Yeah. It's hard to, at least in my experience, I'm sure there are people that would have a different experience than me, but even if you've had them, it's hard to prepare yourself for like, ooh.
Yeah. Like every time it's just like, whoa. Oh.
Wow.
This is a very niche comparison simile compared to a lot of my other ones, but I was trying to think of what it feels like in an emotional way. And mm-hmm. I was like, it feels like watching What We Do in the Shadows. It's a little bit unexpected and weird, but like delightful. But like every time you're like, oh man, I'm going to do this. And then you're like, oh heck, this is happening.
I love that. Yes. They should slap that on their marketing if they're smart.
Pop Rocks, What We Do in the Shadows, get in touch.
I mean, obvious cross-marketing opportunity.
Oh, no, I want that so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. the Pop Rocks brand does sell a bunch of flavors. Currently, those are strawberry, watermelon, tropical punch, blue razz, with two Z's, original cherry, they specify original, grape, green apple, cotton candy, and a sugar-free strawberry. Then extreme flavors, including sour apple and sour berry. And blue raspberry, yeah. Also, a formulation that contains chewing gum.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's bubblegum flavored, and it contains gum in the granules so that like you're once the candy melts you're left with a mouthful of gum.
Yes,
sorry to say it that way, like so disappointed, but I feel
that's
just how I feel. Okay.
Isn't it, or at one time wasn't it called like a Incredigum? That would be a letdown.
Oh heck, it has some kind of marketing term attached to it and I'm not remembering. I didn't record it for this, but all right, you can look it up if you need to. They also do have some seasonal releases, including a formulation that's coated in milk chocolate, a pumpkin patch orange flavor, and a candy cane flavor. Yeah.
Yes, I think I have had the candy cane flavor probably the most recently because people like to experiment with that on like baked goods and in cocktails.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there have been other flavors over time and possibly availability differs in Canada and Australia and the UK. I saw for those countries specifically a cola flavor and Tutti Frutti. I don't know. Write in. Let us know.
Yes, please.
To make Pop Rocks, you, and actually not you because you probably need a lab for this, but you, the royal you, basically heat sugar and water and whatever flavorings you're using until it all melts together and begins to boil. You then cook this mixture to somewhere between what's called the soft crack to the hard crack stage. That's something around 280 Fahrenheit or 138 Celsius, meaning that you boil off enough of the water that when the mixture comes back to room temperature, it'll be a hard solid, like rock candy or like glass. Don't eat glass. I'm just saying it's also an amorphous solid, like rock candy.
Good note. Good note.
Yeah. You, any... Glad to help. okay, so you have your sugar mixture, and then here is where it gets crazy. Hat tip, Ben Bolin. Because before you let this sugar stuff cool back down to room temperature, you seal it in a chamber that also contains carbon dioxide gas, and then pressurize the chamber to like 50 times like normal Earth atmospheric pressure. Something like 600 pounds per square inch. Then you super cool the whole thing, hardening it into a mass and trapping carbon dioxide bubbles throughout the matrix of sugar that you've got going. When you open the chamber and release the pressure, the mass will fracture into those wee pebbles of candy with little pressurized gas pockets trapped inside.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. Oh, and you can do this because at normal Earth temperature and pressure, dry sugar is hard. You've experienced this if you've ever crunched on a grit of granulated sugar, maybe like on the top of a muffin, or if you've ever eaten a lollipop or other hard candy, or if you've cracked the crust on a creme brulee. Sugar, hard dry sugar, has the structural integrity to hold little pockets of pressurized gas. But the thing about sugar, and this is a thing that I love as a kitchen human, sugar is very soluble in water. Makes for easy cleanup because it just melts away. But in terms of Pop Rocks, what that means is that this hard substance comes into contact with the moisture in your saliva or any other liquid for that matter, and it'll pretty quickly dissolve, opening the little pockets of pressurized gas. They expand quickly in the normal Earth pressure of your mouth, shattering the thinned walls of the candy pockets, creating the popping sensation on your tongue.
Yep. So cool.
So weird. This is technically called, in the patents, gasified candy.
Oh. Nice. Okay.
Which is just not a marketing term.
No.
I love it. but that's, I strongly suspect, not the only thing that's happening when you eat Pop Rocks. And okay, we're going to go back to some of the stuff that we talked about way back when in our carbonated beverage soda fountain episode, because we're going to talk about carbon dioxide, because it does a couple of really interesting things in our mouths. First of all, our tongues have cells that contain this enzyme that catalyzes the hydration of carbon dioxide. So all that means for our purposes today is that when we drink soda or eat Pop Rocks, our mouths are beakers in which a chemical reaction is happening. And the end result of that reaction is that some free protons are released and they trigger some of our sour sensitive taste buds. Carbon dioxide tastes sour to us a little bit.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. In a roundabout way, it doesn't itself taste sour, but it creates a sour taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of cool. That like watering.
Yeah.
Like, almost.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Research out of the University of Southern California has indicated that carbon dioxide bubbles trigger specialized pain-related nerve cells in our nasal cavity, the same ones that register the burn of like horseradish and mustard.
Yeah.
So that's why if you're drinking a soda, you get like just a little bit of like a burning sensation, but not, it's not like bad burning. It's just tingly.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in our Moscow Mule episode too, about like the burning
totally.
Of the ginger and then the soda,
yeah,
and then the alcohol, and it creates kind of that like stinging,
yeah,
kind of sensation.
Yeah, yeah. But so I didn't read about that specifically as it refers to pop rocks, but I assume that a bubble of carbon dioxide is a bubble of carbon dioxide one way or another, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also happening here. Chemists,
yes.
Write in.
Yes, please.
Although Pop Rocks was the first brand of this type of popping candy to market, there are competitors like Aftershocks. And there's some other fizzing candies that don't use compressed carbon dioxide, but rather a combination of sodium bicarbonate and an acid that will combine in your mouth to create carbon dioxide bubbles. Yeah, a little bit different, but still cool. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Annie, because of the kind of like interactive element you've got going here, Pop Rocks are considered a novelty candy.
Yeah. Which I don't feel like I have a firm grasp on what that means. Like, I have a vague understanding. But I assume it means, like, yeah, I can't get it with, like, the basic candy lineup. I have to kind of go out of my way to find Pop Rocks.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of, like nichely mm-hmm. marketed, kind of specifically to kids and or adults who are nostalgic and or, like, thrill seekers.
Ooh.
Heavy scare quotes there.
Yes, gotta get my Pop Rocks.
Oh no. The company, this brand is currently owned by a holding company called Zeta Especial out of Spain. But the brand itself is based in Atlanta, where we are based. Like, they were our neighbors when our offices were in Buckhead and we never knew.
What?
Yeah.
Why didn't we? We could have gotten some samples.
Oh, my goodness. We could have. They do license the candy to manufacturers of baked goods and chocolates and ice cream products and even yogurts and like breakfast cereals. And although these are not food products, they also license out to makers of cosmetics like bath salts or bath bombs and pharmaceuticals like kids' vitamin supplements.
Interesting.
Right? Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what about the nutrition?
They're mostly sugar. Sugar is a treat. Treats are nice. I will say a single packet is only like a third to a half of an ounce of candy, which is not a whole lot of sugar in mm-hmm. one go. So that's pretty cool. Also, they are of no danger to you at all. We're going to get into that pretty extensively in the outline, but they're not going to make your stomach explode at all. They might make you belch.
Mm-hmm.
The same amount of belch that you would get from like half a can of soda or less.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we have a lot to say about that because people have long had a lot to say about that.
Goodness, they have. Fascinating.
Yes. It is. But before we do that, we do have a couple numbers for you.
Yeah, yeah. According to the brand, 99% of Americans recognize Pop Rocks. Their creator, William Mitchell, held over 70 food-related patents. And apparently in 2019, I was looking for a world record, as I usually do. I didn't quite find one. But in 2019, competitive eater Matt Stoney tried to eat like a bowl full of Pop Rocks, like 350 packets worth of Pop Rocks.
Mm.
But he only got like a third of the way through.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's not like there's a lot of them, but that sensation is so...
It's very bracing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Oh, and I used to be somebody, I was that kid who was like, how many warheads can I put in my mouth?
Oh, geez. Oof. Yeah.
But I don't think I ever tried anything like that with Pop Rocks. Yikes. But there is a history of some rumors of people trying things with Pop Rocks. And we also have some more numbers in our history section.
We do. And we are going to get into all of that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card.
And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts? Time ends. Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so the invention of Pop Rocks is a thing of candy lore.
Mm-hmm.
People like talking about it. It is really fun. And it starts with a food chemist, then at General Foods, as previously mentioned by Lauren, named William Mitchell.
And just a little bit about him, because he seems like a fascinating guy. So Mitchell was born in 1911 in Minnesota, paid his way through his chemistry degree with farm work, and then proceeded to get a job at the Agricultural Experiment Station in Lincoln, Nebraska, which proceeded to have some kind of lab explosion that left him with second and third degree burns over most of his body.
Wow.
Yeah. At any rate, though, he, seemingly undaunted by this, was hired by General Foods in 1941 and would work with them for over 30 years through, like, World War II and the space race, developing products like a tapioca substitute during World War II for wartime-related foods, also Tang, plus stuff like Cool Whip, powdered egg whites, and Kwikset Jell-O.
Yeah. He was up to a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've mentioned him before. Well, when it comes to Pop Rocks, Mitchell was experimenting with some ingredients in an attempt to create an instant soft drink in 1956. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there. That's the date most people use. The goal was to create a powder that could be mixed with water to instantly create a tasty carbonated beverage. So basically like carbonated Kool-Aid. As part of these experiments, he put some sugar flavoring in his mouth and mixed it with this carbonated powder. And to his surprise, the combo formed these sweet chunks, like small sweet chunks, that, quote, exploded and sizzled on his tongue as small pops of carbonation were released thanks to the moisture and heat of the saliva. And so he was so excited about this. He invited all kinds of people to try it. He's like, oh, look what I've discovered. And they made a game out of who could swallow the biggest chunk. And he knew he was on to something. So he filed a patent that same year and started refining the recipe, coming up with a carbonated nugget candy composed of sugar, corn syrup, lactose, and a fruity flavoring that popped and sizzled when eaten. However, I did see other sources that made it sound like he kind of forgot about it. Like he did this and then kind of forgot about it, other than making it as sort of a wacky gift for friends and family.
Okay.
And another chemist, food chemist, found the recipe several years later and revived it. But a lot of things I read said that Mitchell did like make it and hand it out at like parties and stuff. Huh. So that's fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, but the company was at a loss with what to do with this product. And decades passed before they sold it. And that only happened after a small subsidiary in Canada sold them as a novelty product. And based on some sources I read, it was after some of the people who worked at that subsidiary had tried Mitchell's kind of like holiday candy. And we're like,
okay,
wait a
sure.
minute, why aren't we selling this?
Yeah, this is brilliant. People would pay for this. Let's go.
Sure. Yes. So Pop Rocks debuted to the public in 1974 or 75 or 76. The date varies. I think it depends on where exactly we're talking about because it was pretty regional.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Early on. And it came in cherry, grape, and orange originally. And as company legend has it, a group of grade schoolers voted on the name. I feel like we've heard that story a lot as well. But Pop Rocks was the overwhelming winner. 500 million packets were sold over an 18-month period, and the company raked in about $100 million, which is over $500 million in today's money, in profits in that first year, despite a whole bunch of stuff working against them that we're going to get into.
Ooh, hoofta.
Yeah, so they were doing well, but production of this candy did prove to be a challenge, and it impacted the amount that they can make. Workers had to wear suits to protect themselves from scalding.
Oh, yeah. Sugar is no joke.
No. I'm afraid of it.
Me too.
I'm afraid of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Healthy fear.
Mm-hmm. Then the product had to be crushed. Allegedly, this led to at least one employee losing a finger.
Oh, no.
I know. There's also a couple of stories about a shipment or multiple shipments of Pop Rocks blowing the door off trucks because the truck's heat turned on and, like, set them off, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then there's this whole thing. They were originally sold for 15 to 25 cents a packet. But this regional popularity led to a markup as high as $1 for a packet. And some of that was from kids who would buy it all up and sell it to their friends. But some of it was from legit candy smuggling from like truckers or other employees.
Huh.
Here's a quote from the New York Times from 1978. One day last month, when Justin Prisendorf was still 9 years old, someone came up to him at the exclusive collegiate school and gave him a free sample of some pink granules. The next time Justin wanted some of the granules, he had to pay. The price was $1. More than a month had passed. Justin is 10 years old now. These days, he is popping regularly. Each week, he buys a couple of envelopes of a substance whose price tag on the streets figures out to $80 a kilo. In some places, according to word reaching the manufacturers, it commands $200 a kilo.
Oh my goodness. Oh no, 1978.
I know. Oh yes, I know. And Mitchell commented on this and he was so frustrated. He was like, if you're buying it for more than 15 cents, you're being robbed. He was just like not happy about this whole situation. And yes, the company also had to grapple with public perception. Though the product was extensively tested for safety, it still made parents nervous to the point that the FDA set up a hotline in Seattle to field these concerns. Like the whole hotline was just them like, Pop Rocks are safe. It's okay. Yeah.
Like it's totally chill, y'all. And no.
Yeah. A whole hotline. Mm-hmm. But this didn't assuage everyone, and kids started sharing horrific, almost certainly made up stories of eating Pop Rocks gone wrong. And it's funny reading about this where they're like, you know, kids just like to, at that age, they just like to tell these stories. Like,
yeah.
And Pop Rocks was pretty new. It was a novelty. It was a new candy. And so these stories just started spreading. And soon after Pop Rocks had debuted, an urban legend started spreading that little Mikey, who was the kid from the Life cereal commercials, died after consuming a combination of Pop Rocks and Coca-Cola. And the resulting carbonation from the two products in his stomach exploded his stomach.
Yeah, this is not going to happen. It's flatly not going to happen. No pun intended there. you can in fact do an experiment at home if you would like to, where if you just take like a balloon mm-hmm. that you would blow up, put a packet of Pop Rocks in there, seal the edges of the balloon to a soda pop bottle, and then mm-hmm. just dump the Pop Rocks into the soda pop and watch whether or not the balloon inflates and explodes. Mm-hmm. It will inflate shockingly little. It's at the end of the day, quite a boring experiment. But it really demonstrates how little gas is put off by this kind of thing. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes. But people believed it. Like, this took hold of our, like, national psyche.
Like, collective imaginations. Absolutely.
Yes. By as early as 1979, General Foods was trying to combat this rumor of Little Mikey or an equally anonymous child exploding. Because Little Mikey, like, no one really knew who he was. Like, everyone knew who he was, but they didn't, like, know his name or anything about
him. Right. It was just the random actor who was in this random commercial. Mikey likes it. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Or, another kid that's, like, a friend of a friend. Or, like, you can't verify the details.
Yeah.
Dying. Because of Pop Rocks, and usually in combination with something else like Coca-Cola. And General Foods, obviously, this is not a great rumor to have about a product.
No.
But their profits, one of the reasons they were so concerned about this was their profits fell by 24% on the final quarter of that same year when this rumor, by the time they were like, oh gosh, we've got to do something about this rumor.
Wow.
Yeah. And they tried all kinds of things, including sending the creator to explain the science of the product across the country. And he would assure folks that it only produced, I saw less than a half or a tenth of the amount of gas as a can of soda. So like half or less. But I also saw a tenth. I think he kind of changed the number he was giving. But less than half for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
And perhaps way less than half.
Right.
And as you said, like he was like, at most it'll make you burp. But you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right. The company also took out full page ads in 45 major publications.
Oh, wow.
And sent 50,000 letters to principals all over the U.S.
Like school principals. Yeah. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. don't worry, y'all. The Pop Rocks are not going to kill anyone.
Yes. And on top of that, it didn't help because, as you kind of alluded to with this sort of like New York Times 1978 article that's making it sound like Pop Rocks are drugs, well, General Foods launched a spinoff product in the 70s called Space Dust, which was basically Pop Rocks in powdered form. Mm-hmm. And it was ill-timed and ill-named due to the rise of powdered drugs and parents' fears around that. So the company changed the name to Cosmic Candy, but it was soon, it was too late. It was soon discontinued.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, by the end of the 70s, tons of Pop Rocks had been destroyed, like 300 million pouches, sometimes literally buried in the ground, because the guy who's like been really outspoken about this said, we didn't want kids finding it.
Wow.
Like, so they were just like burying it. So they didn't get to it.
I know.
And then to add further fuel to this rumor that Pop Rocks were dangerous in some way, they were taken off the shelf in 1983, which confirmed the truth, in heavy quotes, of this legend in the minds of many. Like, they were like, ah, see, they took it off the shelves. It must be true.
It is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kraft Foods purchased Pop Rocks in 1985 and started selling them under the new name Action Candy. That, I believe they also sold through a company called Carbonated Candy Ventures. Kind of like to add a step of separation.
Sure.
Likely in part to leave behind this gruesome story, if they could, which, yes, as you said, it is of course not true, but it is so persistent.
Yeah.
Like, it's like clockwork. About once a decade, some version of this story resurfaces. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard it. And then in 2001, a couple sued Baskin and Robbins, and they were claiming that their 5-year-old daughter was hospitalized after consuming Pop Rocks in the company's Shrek Swirl flavor ice cream. And then there was a related story over a rumored lawsuit around Mentos and Coke that circulated in 2006. Both are not true, by the way. But again, it's like those kind of vague details. Like, did you hear about, like, you don't know anything other than the kind of headline bit and no details.
Yeah. You're like, oh, man, my cousin's teacher said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I found this really interesting. John Gilchrist, or perhaps it's Gilchrist, the kid who played Little Mikey, has indeed commented on all of this. So here's the quote from a 2012 Newsday story about him. Yes, John Gilchrist enjoys Life cereal and keeps it in his home. No, he does not get a free lifetime supply. No, he was not a particularly picky eater as a child. Yes, he really is the guy who played one on TV. Oh, and one more thing. He is most certainly not dead. The folklore is that I ate Pop Rocks, the exploding candies, and I drank a soda, and my stomach blew up, he said, recalling a long-ago urban legend. One day in the late 1970s, his mother summoned him from a playground baseball game to tell him she had received a call from a concerned friend who said, through tears, "I'm so sorry to hear about your son," replied Mrs. Gilchrist, "he just came home from school."
How surreal.
I know.
Wow.
That a friend could think.
Yeah.
Heard this rumor and be like,
be like, oh no, Mrs. Gilchrist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck. The Pop Rocks official company website or brand website does address this as well in their FAQ section. Quote, the actor who played Little Mikey lives today in a completely unexploded form in New York.
Oh, I love that. That's funny. But yeah, as mentioned, this rumor legend sticks around.
Uh-huh.
So this whole thing was mentioned in the 1998 movie Urban Legends, when a woman refuses to eat Pop Rocks and Coke when offered because she knows it kills people, including that, quote, kid in the commercial.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks, Snopes, for this whole breakdown. It was very, very helpful. But also, like, there are some things that I just remembered in relation to all of this. For one, Mythbusters even tested this whole thing along with Mentos and Coke and Pop Rocks and Coke, and found it, of course, to be false.
Yeah, and that was in their first episode. Like, that's how pervasive this myth is.
Mm-hmm. There's a Green Day song called Pop Rocks and Coke. And I found this whole thing to be a really fascinating study in how urban legends work. Like, I was reading kind of the science of how this happened and how so many people believed it. It's really interesting.
Oh, it's super fascinating. And it appears in the Urban Legends related episode of Supernatural.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love it so much. Listeners, if there are cultural instances we are forgetting, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, urban legends. Right. I went on a whole Candyman streak recently. And really, oh, really interesting. Anyway.
Yeah. Is it, if you say Candyman, do you have to be looking in a mirror?
Yeah, you have to say it into a mirror five times.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I'm looking out. I don't want anything to happen to you or me.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder if a video camera counts.
That I just had this conversation about Bloody Mary. These are important questions. Because if so, I'm in trouble.
Oh, heck.
Oh, well. I guess I'll ponder that later. But if any listener, you have insight on this.
Yeah, I have not watched all of the Candyman films, so I don't know. What and how many are we up to now? Let's back off of it. All right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Step back, Lauren. Step back. and then in more recent years, when it comes to Pop Rocks. Yes. And alongside the cocktail renaissance here in the United States, Pop Rocks have become a pretty popular cocktail ingredient. They've been showing up in foods, too, as mentioned at the top. In 2014, Food Republic listed 30 restaurants using Pop Rocks on their menus, including previously mentioned Atlanta restaurant Poor Calvin's. Yeah, and we're talking things like sushi with Pop Rocks, foie gras, lobster tail.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things. Because, I mean, a lot of it was baked goods, but there were plenty of savory things on there, too.
Sure, as a little pop of a little pop of acid, I guess, probably.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can balance that sweetness with something.
Yes. And okay, this could be a whole episode, but I'm just going to condense it because it's a whole other episode. But in 2011, two chefs in New York were involved in a lawsuit about the use of, quote, unique food combinations and unusual ingredients. And the big ingredient in question was Pop Rocks.
Huh.
One of the chefs claimed he'd been using them for years, including in his 2009 appearance on The Next Iron Chef.
Huh.
Yeah. And is it a modern-day aphrodisiac?
What? Modern-day aphrodisiac?
I know, Lauren. Molecular gastronomist Heston Blumenthal kind of thinks so. He set out to prove so in his 2015 show, Heston's Recipes for Romance. Or at the very least, he was trying to prove that the sound of popping candy was seductive. And that the results he got, you know, seemed to people find the sound pleasing. That was what I basically took away from it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I do. Like, I read that and kind of, like, marinated on it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it kind of reminds me of some of the scenes in the film Tampopo, if y'all have ever seen that one. That kind of ties just, like, the sensuality of food together. And I, you know, like, whether it's sexy or not is, I mean, up to you. Again, I hands up defensively backing away. I wouldn't dare tell you how to feel about it. But it is a sensation and it's a interesting one at that. So
yeah. Yeah, agreed. It was interesting. I'd recommend looking it up if you're curious, because it was the reasoning given for it, I thought. It made sense to be. Again, yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know if I would say that's like sexy or sensual, but I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got to end on this. Pop Rocks, or more accurately, popping crystals, were an ingredient in Taco Bell's 2017 menu item, the Firecracker Burrito, offered in popping cheesy and popping spicy. However, it never made it out of the testing phase and was quickly retired. Also, apparently, oh gosh, we got to talk about this too someday. But apparently Taco Bell is kind of, I don't want to say vague. They're not always super clear about what their ingredients are.
Oh.
Like, I think they have the proper, you know, nutrition, allergen information, but everybody was like, these are Pop Rocks, aren't they? And they'd just be like, no.
And they're like, we do not know what you are talking about.
Yes, exactly. But people were trying to figure out, like, what's in it?
there are still some patents. Like, there are a number of what was the term? Gasified candies, patents for gasified candies out there, and some of them are are up. Some of them are, you know. So you can use a similar process depending. I mean, check the patents if you happen to have the equipment to do this. Don't get in trouble on my account. But yeah. No.
Check the patents.
I cannot get over how much I do not want to eat something called Poppin' Cheesy.
To be honest, it gives me, I feel a little threatened by the name and I'm not sure why. Kind of makes me want to like hunch in on myself and back up. I'm not sure. So I get it. I get you.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. It feels like a character from like a 90s sitcom. Yes. Who's mm-hmm. going to show up like Steve Buscemi with a skateboard being all like, hello, fellow kids.
Mm-hmm. And something's immediately off. You're like, oh, no, I can't trust Popping Cheesy.
No.
It's another character for our long-awaited radio series.
Oh, dear.
We need to ask Super Producer Dylan, who is a notable Taco Bell aficionado, what his thoughts are on this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if any of y'all have strong opinions about it, please, please let us know.
Yes. Yes. And if any of you happen to have lab or be in any way connected to the Pop Rocks universe, let us know that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be so cool.
That would be so cool. Oh, my goodness. Well, in the meantime, I think that's what we have to say about Pop Rocks for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ends. Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with listeners. I knew that one was going to be tricky. And also, I could sense your very rightful feeling that this one was going to be a little rocky.
Yeah, there was some trepidation going into that one.
Well, we all knew Pop Rocks was going to be, who knows where it could go, but all of it was going to be a bit of a challenge and a risk. A little frightening.
There you go. That's just okay. I think we did something, as per the usual.
Oh, yes. We did something.
Yeah.
We did something. Now for a segue I'm very excited to use. Speaking of aphrodisiacs, Julia wrote, I saw this in one of my friend's books of folk magic, and I need you to witness this iconic spell. Sexual prowess potion to chickpeas to enhance male sexual prowess. 1. Soak chickpeas in water. They will swell. 2. When they are completely soft and swollen, strain out the chickpeas and drink the water. This allegedly makes a man so virile, he can deflower 72 virgin cows in one night. Julia continues, the wording of it is so funny, and in case you're ever looking for a use for some leftover aquafaba, look no further.
Wow.
It was fun. Julia sent a scan of the page, and it was pretty good. I could see some of the other recipes in there. I liked the font. I liked the whole situation.
All right.
But yeah, it was quite funny.
Oh. Two aphrodisiac mentions in the Pop Rocks episode.
Who knew?
Not what I was looking for. You never know where it's going to take you.
That's okay. True.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very strange.
Yes.
Oh, heck. Ariel wrote, I always look forward to a new episode of Savor and the lively conversations you have about so many different food topics. As I know you want to make sure you're pronouncing things correctly, I wanted to pass on the correct pronunciation for Oregon. They continue, in your most recent episode on masala chai, you noted the brand Oregon Chai, which is delicious, but pronounced it Oregon. The correct pronunciation is Oregon. Wanted to pass that on in case you ever decide to make an episode about one of the state's many foods, including Marion berries, gooey duck, or hazelnuts, and didn't want an army of Oregonians blowing up your inbox. We can be a little touchy about it. Smiley face.
Well, thanks for looking out. We don't want that.
Yes. Oh, and now I'm paranoid that I didn't say I don't know. Oregonians? What did I just say? I'm not always listening to myself. Oh, heck. Well.
It's going to be okay, Lauren. Don't panic.
I hope I haven't offended anybody.
Yes.
Working on it every day. Always feel free to send in corrections.
Yes, yes. And all those topics sound great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also did Google how to pronounce gooey duck just to make sure I had it right.
Which I have never heard of, so I'm very interested.
You are way more interested than you even know. They are bizarre.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, cool. All right. Awesome. Well, that's exciting. And as always, exciting to hear from you listeners. Thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@savorpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SavorPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card.
And we here on Savor are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.